Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and we're talking about the permanent diaconate program in the Archdiocese of Chicago. In studio guest Deacon Bob Puhala, the director of the Diaconate Formation Program in Chicago, and Father Dennis Stafford, the spiritual director for the Diaconate Formation Program. And now with us, and we have now with us on the air via the phone, Deacon Sal Lima of St. Rene Goupil Parish. And Deacon Lima is the communications director for the Carmelites. And Deacon Sal initiated a simple project helping one school in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina that has turned into a ministry involving over 200 volunteers called Hopes on the Way. Deacon Sal Lima, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Father Greg.
How are you, Sal?
I'm fine, thank you.
What year were you ordained to the permanent diaconate?
Yeah, I was ordained in 2001.
Oh, so you're a real veteran then.
Yeah, a few years. I think nine now.
And a question I asked Deacon Gary Kupsick when he was on with us a few minutes ago, and in your own story, and that is, how did you end up entering the program and ordained the permanent diaconate in 2001? You know, briefly tell us your story.
Well, let's see. I was at St. Fabian Parish in Bridgeview. That's the parish that I had been in for, 23 years at the end. But they had one deacon, Ken Schoenfeld. He'd been there for like 20 years. And when the new pastor came in, he did a project called Tomorrow's Parish. And they indicated that it would be nice that we would get another deacon in the program. And so, actually, I was asked by just a number of people, and I actually said that you're crazy. but the thought never left me. And eventually, I did get, you know, asked to go into the program and of course, become ordained.
The thing is, then, ordained in 2001. Have you been at St. Rene Goupil since then?
No, I've been at St. Rene the past 3 years.
St. Rene the past 3 years. And now tell us something about that you are communication director for the Carmelites. Is that your full-time ministry?
Yes,
is that your full-time job?
It is. I'm here today. I work for the Carmelites as their communications director, and I'm editor-in-chief of their magazine, the Carmelite Review.
And the thing is, now tell us something about this incredible program you run called Hopes on the Way. You're helping one high school in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. How did all this come about, Sal?
Well, I first made a connection with an article that I received from one of Sister Angel Siadier. She's a sister with the Congregation of Our Lady of Mount Carmel down in New Orleans. And right after the devastation, you know, the hurricane, we were told, like, don't even think of going there because there's really no facilities for you, and that was rightly so. But Sister Angel was in their mother house. They have a nice mother house, a high school, and in the Lakeview area, just actually blocks of the 17th Street Bridge on the canal levee by Lake Pontchartrain. So she, because they had the evacuation was on again, off again, as you recall, she actually got stuck and had to end up staying in their four-story, strongly built mother house. And so she was there during the hurricane and then also the subsequent levee break. And so she wrote a story for me for the Carmelite Review that I received in October of 2005. And I was so taken back by the devastation of this, and I just thought I had to do something. So about December, I called the congregation president, Sister Elizabeth Fitzpatrick, and said, is there something that perhaps I could do? And so she invited me to come down and take a look. And so basically from there, I mean, I flew down with a good friend of mine, Deacon Joe Winblad. He taught shop in high school, so he was pretty knowledgeable about tools and things, and we flew down. We spent the weekend, and the sisters showed us this little tiny building, and about 3,500 square feet compared to the rest of the buildings there, and said they put all their money into the school, so they really had no additional money. They were trying to get the school up and running right away, and this little building was their print shop, the lifeblood of their communications there. And could we help to rebuild that? And so, as you know, we I came back, and within 3 weeks' time, I got five other deacons from Chicago, a deacon from New Orleans, and we came together, and we put 260 man-hours of labor into that building.
Wow.
Gave them the keys to the building at the end of the week.
It's interesting, I was listening to your story, and before that, Deacon Gary Kupsick, of course, with Deacon Bob Uhala and Father Dennis. The line that strikes me, it's from a John Lennon song, "Life is what happened while I was making other plans." It's a great line. Life is what happened while I was making other plans. And for us to be open to the Spirit of God within us. And every morning I say this prayer, "Lord, what do you ask of me today? And give me the courage to do it." And that's, the first part is easy. What do you ask of me? But then secondly, give me the courage to do it is the hard part. Deacon Bob Uhala, you've listened to two deacons tell their story of how they came to where they are. In the work that you do, what role do you play in helping a man discern the process? And at the same time, please give us a number that someone can call you to learn more about the whole diaconate program in the Archdiocese. And also, what role do the wives play in all this?
Sure. Well, first of all, if anybody wants information about the Deacon Formation Program, they can contact us at 847-837-4565.
That number once again.
847-837-4565.
And a web?
And our web is usml.edu.
Again?
www.usml.edu.
Now, in all this, what role do the wives play, or do they need to play? Help us out.
The wives play an extremely crucial and vital role, and we've been talking about deacon candidates and aspirants and the guys during the show. But we want to talk about the special blessing that the wives are as they accompany their husbands through the program. People don't realize the real sacrifices that they make themselves, time they give up with their husbands, time that they sacrifice with their families as their husbands go through this relatively rigorous formation program. They also now are required to participate in key events, which is somewhere around 10 or a dozen or so different formation sessions. They have a special couples retreat that they participate in. There's a special program that we've developed called Women of Witness, and that was developed with our Associate Director Ann Krizan and Father Dennis Stafford, that speaks directly to the needs of the wives and their common experiences as they accompany their husbands through the program. We've started classes like Human Development and Growth to talk again about relationships between husbands and wives as they move through the program. And on the couple retreat and the couple retreats that we started, we also talk specifically about marriage issues in general, and then how formation may add different little stresses onto one's relationship as they move through the 4 years. So I think people don't realize that while the guys do a lot of work, the wives
also do
tremendous amount. And frankly, because they need the guys need their wives' consent to move forward at every step in the program, they couldn't do it without their wives' consent.
I think sometimes people forget with the permanent deacon. You know, my experience has been like when I was at Seminary of the Woods, you know, with Bill Mages, but Patty Mages, his wife, marvelous, and her ministries that she was doing involved in the parish. And Jerry Hennig, before he died, and to this day, you know, his wife, Bernie Hennig, deeply involved at St. Mary of the Woods. So I think sometimes we forget the wives, not only in the role during the program, but their involvement in parish, you know, with their husband when he's ordained a deacon. Deacon Sal, question that is, with Hopes on the Way, how has your project helped trigger other local projects in and around the high school?
We ended up doing 11 missions down to New Orleans after that one project. On the way back in the car, one of the guys said, "Well, when are we going again?" And so that spurred us to do even more things. I mean, we went back and we helped the mother house rebuild. We built their kitchen. We tiled 26 bathrooms, laundry rooms, whatever. We made several trips back there to help them to get their place back in order. But from that, we moved on to help Catholic Charities in New Orleans. We helped a group called Church World Services, an ecumenical organization. We worked with the North Shore Disaster Recovery out in Slidell. We ended up helping various folks, Baptist ministers, someone in Harvey. We even helped a deacon down there that helped us it was interesting. We needed someone on the floor, a carpenter, someone who knew New Orleans, the rules, the regulations, and we hooked up with a man called Deacon Dwight Alexander, and he was a deacon in New Orleans that lost everything as well, his cars, his house, and everything. But he was willing to help us, not only on that first trip, but on all the trips. So he came to help us. We were all deacons working together with other volunteers, and we ended up going back and helping him quite a bit.
Sal, if anybody wanted to make a contribution to help Hope's on the Way, give us a phone number, give us a web.
We don't use a phone number exactly, but we do have the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's hopesontheway.org.
Hopesontheway.org.
Yes.
Okay, and by going and clicking on there, they can then learn ways to maybe make a contribution to help your
yes.
tremendous cause. Father Dennis Stafford, as the spiritual director for the Diaconate Formation Program, you're critically involved in the process, in the journey to the permanent diaconate day. Does your work involve anything after they are ordained?
Actually not, Greg. That is something that is handed over for the vicar, for the diaconate community. I'm always open to anybody that needs any assistance in their spiritual direction or whatever else they may need in their lives. If we could just go back for a second too, Greg, we were talking about the aspirancy program and the wives. They are integral to the prayer life of the gentleman too. One thing we've learned through experience is that the wife really shows by example and keeps their husband grounded in a true spiritual life, in that prayer life. We've learned that through experience over and over. So we do thank them for that too. And everything that we're hearing here today, I think, from the ministries that go beyond the archdiocese and those within, they are truly grounded in prayer. And our deacons and their wives are truly grounded in their spiritual lives, and that's how they can move forward in their ministry.
I think it's very important. And Deacon Sal, question is, I mean, you have an incredible schedule besides full-time communication director for the Carmelites. There's Hopes on the Way program with all the other interconnections. What are your responsibilities at St. Rene Goupil Parish as a deacon?
Well, actually, I do serve there quite a bit. My wife and I are really an integral part of the parish. We are co-spiritual directors with the Christ Renews Parish program there in the parish. I do a few masses each weekend. I preach at the parish. I do the baptisms. I am involved with our sharing parish, St. Benedict the African,
mm-hmm.
and go there every once in a while to do a mass, to deacon the mass and to preach there as well.
Sal, how has the permanent diaconate program touched, changed, and affected your life these last 9 years?
Well, it's pretty apparent that it has totally changed my life. I mean, God called me to walk in ways that I never thought possible. It has just touched me deeply to be able to serve others. I have a great a feeling for this, an enjoyment of being, to be able to serve God's community.
That's more, Bob.
I just wanted to give a better phone number to contact us. Contact me directly, and then I can talk with anybody personally if they have any questions. 847-837-4564.
Try the number again, Bob.
That's 847-837-4564 to talk with me personally.
The thing is, in just the last couple minutes we have, either for Deacon Bob or Father Dennis, anything you want to tell our listeners regarding the whole permanent diaconate program, or is there any myth that you'd like to clear up what it is not?
Sure. I'll just tackle one thing. As we talk about all the gifts and blessings that the women are to the program, not only as they accompany their husband through formation, but also for post-ordination and the ministry they do in the parish. One of the important things, though, to keep in mind is in fact, that the wives of deacons have no obligation to do any particular ministry in the parish once their husband is ordained. The way we try and explain it is that God calls all of us to individual ministries, and we try and listen to what the Spirit tells us, and then we work on that. A wife may fully support her husband as a deacon, and her primary ministry is praying for him and supporting him in that way. She may also provide support by taking care of her own career, maybe doing her share with the kids and continuing prayer, continue supporting him in prayer. She also might participate by assisting him in other ministries as well. But it's important for the wives and the women of men that are considering their diaconate to realize that God calls them to their own particular ministry call. And so they shouldn't think that they'd be expected to do the things that their husband does, or their pastor should expect them to do more than they're currently doing, because that's not what the program is talking about.
And Deacon Bob, what is the minimum age a young man may consider the diaconate program?
31. You have to be age 31 to apply to the program, age 35 at ordination.
So 31 to 35.
Right.
And I want to thank in a very special way, maybe before we close, Deacon Sal, do you have any new projects on tap, or are you about at max right now?
Well, yes, actually, since with the economy being the way it is, you know, we recognize that there was a great need for assistance here locally. So since July of 2008, we have participated in five projects here in the Chicagoland area. We just completed in July working at the request of Catholic Charities for St. Vincent de Paula Shelter on 78th and Ellis. Remodeled a kitchen and painted hallways and did some stairwells, and they've invited us to go back there again and to help them in the future.
Well, that is marvelous. I want to thank in a very special way Deacon Sal Lima of St. Rene Gupel Parish, ordained in 2001.